Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Ruven Hoffman, Bari Hoffman, and Fagel Bat Menachem. We have two subjects that we want to discuss on this week's program. First, we want to summarize why we oppose the candidacy of Donald Trump. We're not going to discuss why we oppose Hillary Clinton's candidacy because you already know why we're against Hillary Clinton. I don't know anyone in JTF who's planning to support Hillary Clinton. So you're already against her. We all are against her already. But Donald Trump is a different story. We are going to summarize why we believe that his candidacy is not better than that of Hillary Clinton in this last video that we're doing, this last program that we're doing before the election. We want to summarize the reasons why Donald Trump would be so terrible for Israel and for America, and why he is not a lesser of the two evils, and why on many issues he's even worse than Hillary Clinton. The second subject we want to discuss is, where does JTF go at this point after the election? For about 18 months now, we've been deeply involved in this election. What do we do after the election? What will JTF as an organization, as a movement, be doing? Let's start off, though, with the issue of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said that he wants to give nuclear bombs to Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Japan. If he starts spreading nuclear bombs to Muslim terrorist countries like Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a notorious longtime sponsor of international Islamic terrorism. If he starts giving out nuclear bombs or encouraging these countries to develop nuclear bombs, it will be an unbelievable catastrophe. On that issue alone, there is no way that any sane person could support Donald Trump. On that issue alone, he completely has disqualified himself and has proven that he is utterly unfit to be president of the United States and that he endangers the security and survival of Israel, of America, of the entire world. Because a world where we spread nuclear bombs all over the place would be a far more dangerous world, would be a world in which we almost guarantee that there will eventually be a nuclear holocaust, that there will eventually be a nuclear war. Here is the clip of Donald Trump explaining in his crazy, incoherent, babbling way why he believes nuclear weapons should be given to Saudi Arabia.
It's been a U.S. policy, though, for decades to prevent Japan from getting nuclear weapons.
That might be
weapons.
A policy, but South maybe, Korea as well. Can I be honest with you? Maybe it's going to have to be time to change because so many people, you have Pakistan has it, you have China has it. You have so many other countries
so
now
having it. So some proliferation is okay?
No, not some. I hate proliferation. I hate nuclear more than any. My uncle was a professor at MIT, used to tell me about nuclear, used to tell
well,
me about the problem.
That's contradictory about Japan and South
Look,
Korea.
At some point, how many countries have it? Iran is going to have it. Very with
but
one of the worst. Excuse me. One of the dumbest deals I've ever seen signed ever by anybody. Iran is going to have it within 10 years. Iran is going to have it. I thought it was a very good interview.
So you have
with
no problem
with
Japan,
Times.
South Korea David having was, nuclear weapons?
At some point, we have to say, you know what? We're better off if Japan protects itself against this maniac in North Korea. We're better off, frankly, if South Korea is going to start to protect itself.
Saudi Arabia
we
nuclear
have to,
weapons?
Saudi Arabia, absolutely.
You They're would be making, fine with them having nuclear weapons?
No, not nuclear weapons, okay. But they have to protect themselves or they have to pay us. Here's the thing. With Japan, they have to pay us or we have to let them protect themselves.
So, but if you say to Japan, yes, it's fine, you get nuclear weapons, South Korea, you as well, and Saudi Arabia says we
can
want
I,
them
can
too.
Can I be honest with you? It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. It's only a question of time. They're going to start having them or we have to get rid of them entirely. But you have so many countries already, China, Pakistan, you have so many countries, Russia, you have so many countries right now that have them. Now, wouldn't you rather, in a certain sense, have Japan have nuclear weapons when North Korea has nuclear weapons? And they do have them. They absolutely have them. They can't, they have no carrier system yet, but they will very soon. Wouldn't you rather have Japan, perhaps, they're over there, they're very close, they're very fearful of North Korea.
So he says, let Saudi Arabia get nuclear weapons because it's inevitable. They're going to have it anyway. It's only a matter of time, which is not true. It is not only a matter of time. If the United States had a firm policy against nuclear proliferation, a true policy against it, it wouldn't be only a matter of time. But Donald Trump is saying, let's encourage this process. It's just a matter of time. A completely defeatist attitude that will lead to nuclear catastrophe. Again, on this issue alone, no sane person can support someone who makes statements like this and who would produce a policy that would be so utterly dangerous. And on this issue, he is worse than Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump has also said that he's going to push for an Israeli suicide agreement, what he calls peace, quote-unquote, with what he refers to as Palestinians, quote-unquote. Now, first of all, there are no Palestinians. There is no Palestine. That's an Arab lie, an Arab myth, and complete Arab propaganda. But Trump says he's going to push for a so-called peace agreement, which, of course, again, would be national suicide for Israel. And he says that the issue is, can we get Israel, can we convince Israel to make this very dangerous, insane, and suicidal sacrifice? He even uses the word sacrifice. He wonders if he could get Israel to do it, and he makes it clear that he's going to do everything in his power to get Israel to make this sacrifice. The sacrifice meaning that Israel, of course, would create a so-called Palestinian state. This would be absolute insanity for Israel. It's the ultimate nightmare. And this is what makes Trump so dangerous. He says in the first 6 months of his presidency, in other words, right away, he's going to start pushing Israel to accept a suicidal agreement. Therefore, on that issue, on the issue of Israel's survival, he is also actually even worse, if you believe what he's saying. And I think if you don't believe what he's saying, then you shouldn't support him for president if you don't believe anything he says. And I don't believe the good things he says. I only believe the bad things he says. Because we have a rule from our leader, Moreno Verabeno, Harab Mir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Gadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, who taught us, Rabbi Kahana taught us, when politicians promise you good things, don't believe them. When they promise you bad things, believe them. When they promise to do something bad, believe them. When they promise to do something good, don't believe them. That should be our rule, because that's what politicians are like. And Donald Trump is as immoral, if not more so, than the worst politicians. Here's what Donald Trump says about getting Israel to commit national suicide. He calls it a peace agreement, but we know that it's suicide. Here's what he said.
Both sides, to make a deal, have to want to make it. I have my own views. I want to keep them quiet for a little while because if I ever end up in the midst, that would be a great achievement to get a real peace. And I want to meet with Bibi. You know, I'm going to be probably going over there pretty soon. And I want to see him. I want to see other people. I want to get some ideas on it because, frankly, that has been, and I say it to everybody, that has been the all-time difficult deal. They've been working on it for so many decades. I mean, it just never ends. But the key is a lasting peace. You have a lasting peace. First thing you have to ask, do they both want to make it? I have a real question as to whether or not both sides wants to make it. I have a real question as to one side in particular, whether or not they want to make it. Well, I don't want to say that right now. I think one side actually would like a deal, and I think the other one maybe doesn't want a deal, to be honest. I don't want to say it. No. Look, we show our cards too much in negotiation. I wrote The Art of the Deal. We show our cards too much. So if I get into that, I don't want to say this and that, and then they'll come and they'll say, well, Trump is biased one way or the other. I think there's a chance that you could probably make a deal if you had a real deal maker, if you had somebody that knew what he or she was doing. In my opinion, if Israel wants to make a deal, I think a deal could be made. I think it will be made at some point. I think if I get elected, that would be something I'd really like to do because so much death, so much turmoil, so much hatred, that would be to me a great achievement. As a single achievement, that would be a really great achievement. I think a lot is going to do with Israel. It's going to have to do with both sides. But a lot will have to do with Israel and whether or not Israel wants to make the deal, whether or not Israel's willing to sacrifice certain things. They may not be, and I understand that, and I'm okay with that. But then you're just not going to have a deal. So we'll see what happens. I'll let you know in about, if I win, I'll let you know 6 months from the time I take office. I will have a very good idea as to whether or not a deal can be made.
Now, what he's saying obviously would be catastrophic for Israel. And again, on this particular issue, when because he promises that he's going to immediately, in the first 6 months of his presidency, push hard for this, that makes him even worse than Hillary Clinton. We don't know if Hillary Clinton's going to start off right away in the first 6 months of her presidency pushing for an agreement. We don't know. We don't know. So on this issue, Trump is actually even worse than Hillary Clinton. In addition to that, remember, Trump is a puppet of Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, who is committed to destroying Israel. Vladimir Putin is building up Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Vladimir Putin is assisting the Syrian Nazi regime. He's putting missiles, Russian missiles, in Syria, right on Israel's northern border. He's the one that arms and trains and assists the Hezbollah terrorists who are on Israel's border, northern border in Lebanon. Putin and Russia are also the ones that are giving arms and training to the Hamas terrorists, to the Fatah terrorists, to Egypt on Israel's southern border. So Russia is one of the greatest dangers to Israel. Russia is very anti-Israel. They've always been a viciously anti-Semitic country, a murderously anti-Semitic country. And once again, we see Russia doing terrible things that endanger Israel's very survival. And if you have Vladimir Putin in Moscow, in Russia, and a president that's working together with Putin, Donald Trump, if the two of them gang up on Israel, that would be very, very dangerous. We've seen in the past, we saw in past history, when the United States and the Soviet Union joined together to pressure Israel, like after the 1956 Suez War, where Israel liberated the entire Sinai, the Soviets and the Americans joined together and told Israel, you have to withdraw. Israel withdrew from all of Sinai. They gave into that pressure immediately when the two superpowers started pressuring them. And we saw the same situation in the 1973 Yom Kippur War, when the Soviets and the Americans together threatened Israel not to win the war, to have a premature ceasefire that prevented Israel from having a decisive victory in the Yom Kippur War in 1973. Israel again caved in and agreed to a premature ceasefire that rescued the Egyptian army. Israel had surrounded the Egyptian army, was about to destroy the Egyptian army, would have won the most decisive victory in Israeli history. And they stopped, and they allowed the Egyptian army to escape destruction and prevented Israel from winning a decisive victory, again, because of combined Soviet-American pressure. When you have, whether it was the Soviet Union in the past, or today it's Russia, when those two countries unite to pressure Israel, that is the most dangerous situation, because unfortunately we have Israeli leaders who give in. So a Trump-Putin alliance to push Israel to commit suicide, which is what we would have, God forbid, is the most dangerous of possible scenarios. We know from history that Israel has given in situations like this in the past. So it would be a nightmare for Israel. Trump is worse than Clinton on Israel. On Israel, Trump is even worse than Clinton. And Clinton is absolutely terrible, an absolute nightmare. What about for America? Well, first of all, if you're bad for Israel, you're bad for America, because God will curse any nation that goes against his people, that goes against Israel. That's the one message that is consistent throughout the Bible, that all of the Nevi'im, that all of the prophets repeat over and over again in the Bible. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And over again, the prophets warn the nations not to go against Israel. God warns the nations not to go against Israel. God says in the Bible that Israel is the apple of my eye, that Israel is my son, even my firstborn. That's what God told Moses to say to Pharaoh. Anyone who goes against Israel and goes against what God is trying to do in the Holy Land, any nation that does that will be cursed and destroyed. And what Donald Trump is proposing to do to Israel endangers America's survival. And character matters as far as America's concerned, and what Trump would mean for America. Having a president with terrible character is something that is very bad for America. Character does matter in a president. Now, Hillary Clinton also has a terrible character. But Donald Trump, being a Republican president, pretending to be a conservative with a terrible, immoral character, the danger there and the damage there would be tremendous. Remember, Donald Trump is selfish, corrupt, cruel, All he wants to do is win, win, win at any cost. He has no morals. He was an adulterer. He sexually assaulted many women. His attitude toward women is one of contempt. He is a vicious person, a narcissist, an egomaniac, a megalomaniac. These are all the characteristics of someone with terrible, horrific character. And that does mean something. That is very important. And it's not just his megalomania and his egomania. It's not just that. It's the fact that many of the things he has done make him a mentally unstable individual. He is a person who really has mental problems. When he has to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start tweeting hysterically against every little thing, any little thing that someone has ever said against him, and he goes absolutely berserk, he goes absolutely crazy, that is a sign of someone with serious mental problems. He really does have mental problems. And so having someone like that in charge of America's nuclear arsenal really should be very frightening. Remember, a president can single-handedly, by himself, launch a nuclear war, can launch all of America's thousands of nuclear weapons. You know that America has enough nuclear destructive power to wipe out the whole human race, to wipe out all of humanity? In fact, some say that America could wipe out all of humanity several times over. That's the type of massive nuclear destructive power in the hands of the president, of the commander-in-chief. Trump does not need approval from Congress or the courts or anyone else to launch a nuclear war. The system is set up just in case America would be attacked by a surprise attack. The system was set up in a way where a president by himself, making his own decisions all by himself, can launch a nuclear war within minutes. Within minutes, Donald Trump can launch nuclear weapons and nobody can second guess him and nobody can stop him. That's the way the system is set up. That's the way it works. Having someone like Donald Trump, who I do believe has serious mental problems, in charge of the nuclear arsenal, I do believe is a very, very serious risk. And in addition to that, remember, Trump would be a Republican president, even though most of his life he was a Democrat, and he would call himself a conservative. He would be identified by the media as a conservative or as right wing, even though, in fact, he's been a left wing Democrat his whole life and still is a left wing Democrat. But the media and most of the American people would identify him as a so-called conservative, and that would destroy the Republican Party and destroy the conservative movement, because he would be the worst president, the worst, most disastrous president we could possibly have. This is someone who has already gotten the Republican National Convention to cheer gay speakers. Gay speakers, including the founder of PayPal, got up and started speaking about gay rights and gay issues, and the Republican National Convention was cheering. You never had this before. I mean, even Republicans are cheering this now? And he pushes the gay agenda, and then he mentioned it in his acceptance speech, how he supports the gay agenda and supports the gay movement. And Republican delegates cheered him when he said it. And he said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for cheering me on that issue. In other words, he got Republicans. He got Republicans to support this agenda. Only he could do that. And he could do the same thing on all the other issues in which he has taken left-wing stands. On abortion, on all the other issues where his stands have been on the left, on amnesty as well. Remember, Donald Trump his whole life supported amnesty. Donald Trump condemned Mitt Romney after the 2012 election, said that because Romney didn't support amnesty, that's why he lost the election and that he should have supported amnesty. Donald Trump in 2013 supported the Gang of Eight Senate law that Marco Rubio and Chuck Schumer were pushing to give complete amnesty and citizenship to all illegal aliens. And Donald Trump himself has said that he believes that there should be a path to citizenship for the illegal aliens. In fact, in his latest proposal, he says as long as an illegal alien is not convicted of a felony, as long as he's not convicted of a serious crime, that they should be given a path to citizenship. That's not amnesty. What's the difference between that and what Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton says the same thing. Except Donald Trump can actually effectuate that policy. So he'll begin a policy where he'll say, we're cracking down on the criminals and so on and so forth. Yeah, sure. And then give citizenship to everyone else, which would be more than 90% of the illegal aliens. That is amnesty. That is what Trump is proposing. And he will get the Republicans to go along with it. Look at his dumb, imbecilic supporters. Look at the dumb Trumpsters, and they are stupid. I don't care if you're not supposed to say that. That's not the way you conduct the campaign. Trumpsters are stupid. Okay? Look how stupid they are. The big issue for them was supposed to be the wall and how they're going to fight against and how they're going to deport all the illegals. They have a candidate who is now telling them openly that he doesn't intend to do any of that, that he doesn't intend to deport more than 90% of the illegals, and that he wants to give them citizenship, and they're cheering him and going along with it. I mean, so he gets them to do anything he wants. That's the bottom line. That makes him very, very dangerous as a leader. He will pursue disastrous policies and there'll be no resistance, at least with Hillary Clinton. With her, there'll be resistance. If she pursues bad policies, the Republicans in the Senate and the House will fight her. They'll fight her on the because she'll be corrupt. At least they'll be fighting her. Of course, it'll still be terrible. Having her as president will be terrible. She'll be a terrible president. But with Donald Trump, there won't be any resistance because he'll be a Republican president. The Republicans in the House and the Senate are not going to fight a Republican president, or at least most of them won't. Most of them will not. Most of them will not. We know from history, most of them will follow the leader of their party. So we've got a very, very dangerous situation if he becomes president. In addition to that, the markets are going to crash if he becomes president. Markets do not like unstable, crazy people. You know, they want stability. The first thing people in business want is stability. And to have an unstable leader like this in the White House, I think it would be disastrous for the stock market, for the bond market, for all the markets. And something else. He is boosting and making respectable Nazis, Klansmen, Louis Farrakhan. Look at the people that he wants to make respectable now, or that he's making respectable. They're all supporting him because they know that if he goes around using dirty and obscene language, insulting everybody, acting like an animal, like a beast, and getting away with it, that they could get away with anything they say. They say, well, we're just doing what Donald Trump is doing. If he was president, they'd say, we're saying and doing the same thing the president would say. That's why David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi Party and Louis Farrakhan and every Jew-hating evil organization is supporting Donald Trump. We never had a situation like this. None of these groups supported Mitt Romney or John McCain or any of the other Republican nominees. This is the first time in history that Nazis and Klansmen and Farrakhan are all backing the Republican candidate for president. You never had this before. Why do you think why do you think they're all supporting him? Why do you think Stormfront has endorsed Donald Trump? Why do you think all these groups are supporting him? Because they know that he's making their Nazi hate-mongering respectable. And that is very dangerous, and God will destroy America if America tolerates that. And that is extremely dangerous. He's setting the stage. He's setting the stage for making Nazism acceptable. And so, on many, many, and I could go on and on with other issues and other stands that he's taken. He supports transgenders going into bathrooms. I mean, just issue after issue. He has convinced Republicans and conservatives to go along with things that they would never go along with, that they would bitterly oppose. But because he has said that we have to support this, they're supporting it. That makes him very, very dangerous. Very bad and very dangerous. So we are not supporting Donald Trump and we're not supporting Hillary Clinton. We're supporting neither one of them. And we urge you not to vote for either one of them. The second issue we want to discuss on this week's program is, what does JTF do now? For the past 18 months or even 2 years, we've been very active in the presidential campaign. We started out, of course, with Jews for Cruz and supporting Ted Cruz, who again, someone who I think would be an outstanding president, a great president. But unfortunately, stupid people voted for this clown, this orange Mussolini, instead of the great Ted Cruz. So we're stuck with this terrible situation. What do we do now as an organization after the election? We're going to have a president, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, that we oppose, and that is, and a president who is going to pursue policies that we believe are very dangerous. So what do we do? And it doesn't, you know, it's almost like there's almost no difference if it's Clinton or if it's Trump. We're going to be opposing the next president. We're going to be opposing their policies. So that's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to be opposing the policies that are bad. When they pursue bad policies, we're going to be part of the opposition. And so here in America, we're going to explain why we believe that certain policies should be pursued. One of the things that I'd like to do is spend a lot more time when the election is over speaking about Torah Judaism. What is the Jewish perspective on the Bible, on the holidays, Parashiyot HaShavua, the Torah portions every week? I want to spend more time speaking about Jewish issues. And I hope, Bli Neder means, with God's help, I hope to be able to do this. I can't guarantee it, because you never know what's going to come up. But I hope to be able to do it. I hope to be able to spend more time discussing the Torah Jewish view. What's our purpose in life? What are we doing in this world? I want to spend a lot more time doing that after the election. I think it's something that Jews and Gentiles will find very interesting, very fascinating. And of course, we're going to be supporting Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, the Zehut meaning identity. His Zehut Party in Israel is going to be running in the Knesset elections, the Israeli parliamentary elections, which we have no idea when they're going to be held. They could be held in the next 2 years, next 3 years. But we're going to be supporting him, and we're going to be doing a lot of work on his behalf, God willing. So we're going to be supporting Moshe Feiglin in Israel. We're going to be taking, of course, the stands that you know that we take on Israel. We're going to be supporting the heroic Jewish pioneers in Judea and Samaria, and our great, noble Jews that are settling in the land of Israel. We're going to be supporting them very strongly. And taking the stands that have to be taken in terms of proposing what has to be done for Israel, on behalf of Israel. Hopefully we'll be doing a lot more of that. So we're going to be speaking about Torah Jewish perspectives, hopefully, on the issues and on things in life, what our purpose in life is, and so on. We're going to hopefully be doing a lot more looking at what the Torah Jewish view is. That's number one. Number two, supporting Moshe Feiglin and his Zehut Party. Number three, supporting the Jewish heroes and the Jewish settlers in Judea and Samaria. Number four, in terms of America, we're going to be, again, opposing the bad policies of whoever is the next president. And number five, we're going to be speaking about American issues as well. In addition to just opposing policies, we're going to be proposing what America should be doing, the good policies that America should be pursuing. So it's going to be an interesting period after the election, a fascinating period, a new chapter in JTF's history. And I hope that you'll be able to work with us, that you'll want to work with us, because we've got a lot of things we want to do to make this a better world. There are four things we ask you to do, because we can change history if we all work together. If we all work together and we're all determined, potentially we can change things. Potentially we can change history. The potential is there. Let's put it that way. I can't guarantee success. Success I can't guarantee. We can only do the best we can. But remember, Hashem, God, does not demand success. He demands that we do everything we can, that we try as hard as we can to do what's right. And if we succeed, wonderful. If we don't succeed, but we tried as best we could with a noble cause, we still get credit for what we've done. We've done our job because we're required to do everything we can, even if we supposedly fail. And you never know, by the way, things where you may fail, but your efforts may eventually be rewarded, either later on in life, or in the next world. You never know. You never know. So it's never a waste to do what's right. Doing what's right is never a waste of time. Never. It's always something that is desirable and something, and really the our purpose in life here is to do what's right. Four things we ask you to do. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for the success of our efforts. Number two, to promote all of our Hebrew and English videos that you see. If you see JTF videos, please help promote those videos on YouTube, Facebook, on our main pages, on our forum, on Twitter, wherever you can, please promote our Hebrew and English videos. Number three, be active on our main pages. JTF.org is our English main page. The great Shlomo does a fantastic job in putting together 7 or 8 new posts every single day, updating it every single day. JTF.org, the greatest page anywhere on the internet. Be active on that page. And the Hebrew, if you speak Hebrew, hayamin.org, hayamin.org, ze hadaf shelanu beivrit. And again, be active on that on the Hebrew main page if you speak Hebrew. And fourth, of course, we need your financial support. Our downfall as a movement is the fact that we don't have a big enough budget to do what we want to do. We have to work with what we have, and I think we can accomplish some important things even with the budget that we have, but every donation makes a difference. Every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to a post office box, it does make a difference. God bless the great JTFers who are helping us financially. If you want, you can also help us online. If you prefer, for convenience sake, to help us online, you can go to our PayPal account, which is on our Hebrew main site, hayamin.org. On top, there's a donate button in English. You just click on the donate button in English, again, on hayamin.org. You go on top, donate button, click on that, and you can very conveniently, in several minutes, very conveniently donate with your credit card online and help our movement online, and help our movement with an online donation. Tuesday is going to be an important election. After that, we have even more important challenges coming up. What do we do after that? How do we clean up the mess? It's going to be very important that JTF be there to do what has to be done. Let's work together as a team, because if we work together, we can make this a better world, God willing. This is Chaim Ben Pesach for JTF. Until next week, Shalom.